is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Got an awesome couple of hours ahead. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. No Michael Lombardi with us today. He'll be back soon, but so fortunate we have the one and only Mike Pritchard, VSiN host and star football analyst here at the network. Also won a college football national championship with the CU Buffs back in the day. And your Denver Nuggets are playing pretty
they
darn
sure
well
are.
Right now, my friend.
They sure are. Great to be with you, Stormy. Yes. I mean, let's go Nuggets. I tell you what, it's a long time coming, to say the least. I mean, I go back with Alex. I've sent this before, Alex English and all the greats, so Doug Moe and all these people from the Nuggets, McNichols Arena back in the day. And there's a groundswell of people out in Denver that longtime residents, right? Maybe born and raised there, that the Nuggets have always been their team. Mm-hmm. You know, the Broncos have been their team. Certainly the Avs relocated. Then they became people's darling out there when they won a couple of cups. But the Nuggets, you know, they have those roots kind of like the Broncos, right? In Broncos country. So Nuggets Nation, I guess. I don't know what you're going to call it. But it's incredible. You know, Scott Hastings on the call. It's just an incredible experience right now to see what the Nuggets are doing.
All I know is that Vic Lombardi, who's a Nuggets reporter and host for Altitude Sports, he's come on the program a couple times, and he said all these years of just people not believing in us and everybody like saying that nobody watches sports in Denver and all of this stuff, it was hashtag Nug Life in a negative way. And now everything's kind of showing up roses as they look for their first NBA title in franchise history. We'll talk plenty about what happened last night, where the series is going. It's also the calm before the storm here at Circa Sportsbook in Las Vegas, where we're broadcasting from today. A big watch party is going to be happening later tonight at Stadium Swim for the Vegas Golden Knights, who are on the road for game three of the Stanley Cup final against the Florida Panthers. They're currently up 2-0 in that series. Get some picks from that game tonight with Mike Somich later on in hour two, professional handicapper. And then coming up here in about 30 minutes as well, 12:30 Eastern, 9:30 Pacific, Will Hill, VSiN contributor, give his thoughts on the NBA. And he's always, you know, locked and loaded with Major League Baseball as well. So we'll have plenty to talk over with Will. But back to last night, it was a masterful performance for your Denver Nuggets, who are now just two wins away from a potential NBA title. Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, the absolute stars of the show in this game, both with 30-point triple-doubles. The first time in NBA history, we're talking regular season history, playoff history, that two teammates in the same game had 30-point triple-doubles, and they do it in a pivotal game three of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, when they needed to, right? And that's the definition of a superstar, or a couple superstars, really, if you look at the Nuggets. I mean, the consistency of star players, that's what you can bank on. That's why they're star players. I mean, Jokic, I mean, he's gonna get his. It doesn't matter how he's going to get his, whether it's all three, a triple-double, or whether he's a scorer or a facilitator, right? Jamal Murray, too, is turning into that superstar as well, that consistent player that's going to be there. But then, okay, we'll start with stardom, right? But let's get to superstardom with those guys, because they can elevate and do something that's never been done in the history of the game. So it's remarkable, especially when you need it most. It helps the players around you too. We saw some pretty good performances from Brown in particular, but the entire roster though, they were comfortable on that floor because of the two superstars getting it done out there.
Yeah, and their head coach Michael Malone had nothing but compliments for the two stars. Take a listen to this. He said that it might be the best he's ever seen them.
You know, I've been with Nikola for 8 and Jamal for 7 years now. And we've been, you know, we've had some pretty good moments, but not in the NBA Finals. And for those guys to make history the way they did tonight, no one's ever done that. I mean, that's what's really neat about it. You get the win. I thought our defense was fantastic tonight. You hold that team to 94 points, 37 from the field, only 11 threes. You know, that really helped us out tonight, the defending and rebounding at a high level. But by far, their greatest performance as a duo in their 7 years together.
Jokic personally finishes with 32 points, 21 boards, 10 assists, the first 30-20-10 game in finals history. But if you ask Nikola Jokic, doesn't mean much to him. I thought we were going to have a soundbite there, but maybe.
We got it. It's coming.
Is it coming?
Yeah. There it is.
Should I keep
Tim
waiting?
McMahon, ESPN. I know you're not a guy who cares a lot about your stats, but when you have a line that's never been accomplished before in finals history, what do you think of that?
To be honest, I just think it's a win, you know, because if we lose, nobody's going to even mention. To be honest, I don't care. It's just a stat.
I don't care. It's just a stat. Love it.
I know. The humble nature of this guy is remarkable, really, because you think of a superstar, especially in the NBA, flamboyant, flashy, outspoken, loud, whatever. But it's just a stat. Mm-hmm. But it's the beginnings, though. I mean, this was a draft and stash guy, and he turned himself into a superstar. So good for Nikola that way to perform like that and then also be humbled. And I think that's the locker room. That's certainly from a betting standpoint. What you can count on, Malone has the pulse of this team too. Like, he knows what buttons to push.
Yeah. Now,
Michael Porter Jr., I don't know what button he can push for that guy. Because how do you not bring your game in the NBA finals? But Christian Brown, okay, get out there and do your thing. So this team is entirely comfortable. If they bring their defense, Stormy, you can't beat the Denver Nuggets this year.
And Malone set the tone with that. Coming out of game two as well, kind of calling out his guys in the press conference, talking about effort. Then pregame, they showed on the ABC broadcast the quotes from him in the locker room saying, urgency and desperation we didn't have in game two. We got to come out with it here in game three, especially on the road. So certainly pushing those right buttons. And even defense, when you look at Nikola Jokic too, he was good there. Like Miami shot 3 of 19, 16% when he was either the primary or help defender. Mm-hmm. His MVP odds specifically go from minus 250 before game three to minus 650 at BetMGM, 45% of the money, the most on Jokic to ultimately win that award. And you mentioned our guy, Michael Porter Jr., bad again. 1 of 7 from the floor, 0 from 3. Isn't he supposed to be your third best player?
I don't know what's happening. But you can't be checked out either, though, right? Or you can't lose confidence. And I think that's the difference between a star, a superstar, and a guy who's trying to figure it out. I mean, I look at the players that can't figure it out. You know, Christian Brown, he's been in big moments.
15 off the bench
for
him.
Sure. Just averaging, about 15 minutes a game all year long. But then, you know, from a point production standpoint, not that stellar, obviously, role player, but he's been in a big game situation from his experience in college, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you step into that environment on the road and you have the energy on both ends of the floor. It's completely different than Michael Porter Jr. It's distinguishing, right? And to me, you know, that's what a good coach can do, and he can reach those guys. And it doesn't show up on a stat sheet. It doesn't show up in analytics, right? But it does show up when you have a roster like this that's deep like this, or you have options like this that can get you a win on the road in the playoffs.
Meanwhile, you did not get that from the Miami Heat. Bam was good again. He's been the only real bright spot, I feel like, consistently throughout three games. Jimmy Butler has 28 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. Duncan Robinson, I was surprised to see him so limited, only 14 minutes, but he was 3 of 6 from three in the action that he was out there with 9 points on the game. But for me, if this Miami Heat team is going to compete in the series and if they're going to win another game and halt some of the momentum with the Nuggets, they've got to make their shots.
Right.
And there's just so many things in my mind with this matchup that the Miami Heat aren't necessarily going to be able to overcome. Like, the height disparity, the size disparity is very, very clear. They were out-rebounded last night, 58-33. Points in the paint. You look at the physical nature with which the Nuggets were able to drive to the basket and be in that paint area, outscored them 60-34. And Miami just didn't have the threes falling like they did in game two. 11-35 from three in game two. It wasn't there for them. 11 last night, 17 in game two. It just wasn't there for them the way that they need it to be in order for them to have success. So, is in your mind, is it a wrap? Is it a wrap for Denver to win the series?
I'm still saying 6 games. I'm still going to stay right there because Miami, you know, they're phenomenal. And when they're down, they respond. You know, just think about the Boston series, right? Yeah. I thought, and you know, if you go back to the beginning of the playoffs, Tyler Herro was supposed to be back game three. And I was discussing this with Will Hill before. I thought that would provide a lift and then also another option for Denver to defend. But they didn't have that. So now Miami is trying to execute everything against what the Nuggets have adjusted to. Like, the Nuggets adjusted with, you know, Brown and some others, whether Jamal was a facilitator or just an incredible player. But you're right. The ease of scoring a high percentage shots, high percentage opportunities, that was created on the floor, right? And I think you had another option, too. And then defensively, they were committed. So where does Miami go? I'm looking for another option. I'm going to keep an eye out to see if they can get another shooter out there to kind of extend the floor. Maybe have just something else for Denver to adjust to defensively, as well as trying to be consistent offensively.
So Nuggets win and cover the 3.5, 109-94, your final from Miami. The market also really liked the under yesterday, and that came through. The number opened 215.5, closed a lot of places to 12.5, but goes under any of those numbers as the Nuggets take a 2-1 series lead. They're now an $8 favorite in the series price. And looking ahead to game 4, Nuggets -3.5 once again. Total ticked down, though, a good bit to 10.5. So I wonder if that might be getting a little bit too low, but the pace has been so slow.
Yeah, it's all about half-court execution in this series so far. And, you know, I don't think either team wants to get up and down the floor to increase their pace that way.
That is a very good point. We're going to take a quick break here on the Lombardi Line. But when we come back, this running back is going to be released by his team. We thought he might be traded, but not looking like that is the case. More in the NFL when we return.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. All you gotta do is download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID. You can open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're gonna love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. The Minnesota Vikings informed running back Dalvin Cook that he's going to be released after failing to find a trade partner. This is something we've been talking about, I feel like, for the last couple of months. The expectation that he wouldn't end up in Minnesota either via trade or release. The Vikings are going to owe Cook $2 million once the release becomes official financially. He is a post-June 1 designation as well, which saves the Vikings $9 million in cap space. They take in $5 million in dead money on their 2023 cap, but this opens the door for Alexander Mattison to be RB1 in Minnesota. Not particularly surprised, though, that Dalvin Cook's on his way out.
You know what? I kind of am. I mean, he's in his late 20s, right?
28 in August.
Yeah. He had 8 rushing touchdowns, 2 receiving touchdowns. Had almost 1,200 rushing yards. He toted the rock almost 300 times. I mean, salary cap or no salary cap, this is a productive player. And he's not old, right? Now, there could be injury concerns that we just don't know about. Maybe that's the business decision being placed on Dalvin Cook right now. So buyer beware or free agency situation, because he's going to be released. Maybe something will be revealed that way. But, I mean, I know you got new coaches and you know, similar scheme to what Dalvin Cook, and certainly Dalvin Cook's a fantastic player. They were already underneath the cap, Stormy. I mean, I'm looking at the Vikings prior to the move, and I think they had about $10 million, almost $10 million in cap space already. So I don't know what's going on up there, other than the fact that maybe Dalvin Cook's unhappy. But he, like I said, he almost put up 1,200 rushing yards last year with that Vikings football team.
Yeah, 1,173 his total rushing yards, coming off a 4th Pro Bowl season. I know that Pro Bowls don't necessarily like mean much in the grand scheme of things, but better to be a Pro Bowler than to not, I would say. And so good for him there. On the Alexander Mattison front, So career-wise, he's yet to clear 134 carries or 166 touches in a single season. Mm-hmm. But I will say, in the instances that Dalvin Cook has been unavailable, he has been like a fantasy darling, always the top guy to target. During the four games Cook was out in 21, he led the NFL in touches, rushing yards, and fantasy points those weeks. So like maybe there is just a belief that he can step into that role at a cheaper price, at least for the time being. Do you think that the Vikings now, because they are moving on from at least a cap relief standpoint, mm-hmm. it appears with Dalvin Cook, that they still go to try to get somebody else that maybe is another veteran guy to come in and play alongside Madison that's not at the price tag?
You know, this is where it gets interesting because, yeah, I guess they can get another veteran that's cheaper. But is that veteran going to be better than Dalvin Cook? I mean, sometimes you have to pay for good players. Hello, that's why they're good, right? And I almost did a Herman Edwards right there. Is it? Yeah. Herm Edwards. My names. I got so many names in my head right now, Stormy. But no, you know, Madison, he's going from a backup situation where there's no pressure to now you're the guy.
Yeah.
There's a reason why when you're the guy, you're productive and consistent, then why are you messing with that? To me, I know because I'm looking at Kirk Cousins and how many more years does he have left, right? It seems like this is the beginning of some type of transitional period for the Vikings. They won all those games last year. Didn't get to a Super Bowl. I don't know if they can run it back. I mean, maybe this is a sign, certainly as a better, I'm making note of this, that they're telling us that they're going to go through some transition here as the division is going through some transition as well. Maybe after we get through this period, we'd be better off for it, but certainly still be competitive within that division as well.
They also sent Za'Darius Smith to Cleveland last month. Might not be done necessarily with these moves, but the reports they're fielding calls for their Pro Bowl pass rusher in Danielle Hunter as well. And speaking to like last year and the success that they did have in the regular season, it was a 13-4 year for them, but we all know about those one score games. I've been seeing a lot of tweets from Warren Sharp this week regarding the Vikings specifically. They're the first team since at least 1990 to win double digit games despite trailing by over 70 combined points entering the fourth quarter. Minnesota lost the first three quarters last year by a combined 87 points in 2022, and they still went 13-4. So that's just not something that is sustainable. It's going to be carried over from year to year. That's why their win total is sitting at 8.5 as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, maybe the bookmakers have done an autopsy on this team, and certainly teams, they do that internally as we'll look at things and really dissect everything. You know, this is interesting because I mentioned this before. Mike Clay covers the NFL, ESPN guy. He had Minnesota Vikings. This is prior to the moves with Hunter and Smith. He had them with the number one rated pass rushers or edge players because of how deep they were, because they got Marcus Davenport and people like that. Now you got Brian Flores coming in. They're going to run a 3-4. You know, you're not running that 4-3. You don't have true outside linebackers now in that 3-4. So again, a transitional period, the win total representative of that plus 300 for the division. I'm not touching that to be honest with you. And then the quarterback situation, this could be the last year for Kirk Cousins. And then, okay, where are the Vikings going to go after this? So it has the signs of everything that's pointing towards a transitional period for the Vikings coming up later this year.
Talking NFL offseason here on the Lombardi Line, another big news item coming through overnight. DeAndre Hopkins is set to make his first free agent visit to the Tennessee Titans.
I know, right? You know, this is, I don't know what can be done about this, Stormy, but they did it with Lamar Jackson. I'm talking about the owners. Publicly talking about, oh, we don't want that player. Oh, we're not going to entertain that player. So what are they doing with D-Hop right now? Oh, we don't want him because his price tag. They're trying to get these players cheaper. It happened in the offseason with the one-year contracts for free agents and not a lot of guys with these lengthy contracts. But, you know, you're an older player like this, on the verge of becoming a Hall of Famer, I believe. But yet, the league or the owners in particular or executives are talking you down publicly, devaluing you. So I don't know what's going to happen with D-Hop. You know, his options now are taking meetings with Tennessee, right? That's not going to further him and his possibilities of getting to the Hall of Fame. It's certainly not going to improve his situation from Houston to Carolina now to Tennessee, when the quarterback could be on the outs as well. So I don't know what's going to happen to D-Hop unless he lowers his number and truly becomes all about winning a championship. Then maybe he'll play with Patrick Mahomes or one of those other elite teams out there as well.
Yeah, and I think OBJ and the Ravens kind of mucked this up that much more because yeah. DeAndre Hopkins now has a number in mind that he feels. I'm sure if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, I'm thinking that I am a better or more quality option than OBJ is. The thing that struck me when I saw that his first meeting was going to be with the Titans was he just goes on this podcast and is talking about like the checklist of things that he would like and whatever his next team is. And he says, great management, a quarterback who loves the game as much as I do, and a great defense.
Right.
And then the first team that you meet with is the Tennessee Titans, who fired their general manager last December. So first time GM in Rand Carthon. You do have familiarity with Mike Vrabel, of course, who is the former defensive coach in Houston. Five quarterbacks he says he's liked to play with: Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, and Justin Herbert. Did not see Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis, or Will Levis on that list.
Right.
And then as far as the defense, yes, that was, I guess, we can call that the shining light for what we saw in Tennessee last year. They had the number one run defense in the NFL, but 32nd against the pass, 32 in total defense, in total yards allowed. So
did that list start with number two? Because number one is missing. Number one is money. I mean, D-Hop left money off that list. Now, you can't lead the list with money because now you're greedy, right? So that's why I was wondering, did that list say number two, number three, number one?
Okay, right,
number
he just
one?
Started at two.
He started at two publicly, but not public is the fact that he wants money too. Because obviously, if it was all about championships, okay, what's the minimum I can sign and play for? I'm good with money. I got my bank account straight. What's the minimum amount I can play for? Because I want to play with Patrick Mahomes and win a Super Bowl. I want to go back to back. And I guarantee you the Chiefs would entertain that, right? There's a lot of teams. All those teams that he mentioned, it correlates with the public devaluing of the D-Hop here in terms of, oh, we don't want that player. Dallas Cowboys, they could use him, right? Oh, we don't want him. Well, you want him if his number is right, because he's a potential Hall of Famer and he could help you win a Super Bowl.
The Titans, as of right now, have about $8.5 million available in salary cap space. I know you can finagle with whatever you want to do, but just putting that out there, they are a 7.5 win total team as of right now, according to oddsmakers. And if anybody out there can name the top five wide receivers on the Titans depth chart, give me a call, because that is some serious trivia. As of right now, they currently have their second year guy, Treylon Burks, as their top wide receiver, fellow sophomore Kyle Phillips starting in the slot, and then Nick Westbrook, Akine, lining up opposite Burks. Those three combined for 68 catches and 919 yards, four touchdowns last year. Hopkins had 64 catches for 717 yards and three touchdowns in only nine games.
Yeah.
So just food for thought on where Tennessee sits right now. We got to take a break. Our guy Will Hill, VSiN contributor, joins us next. Get some plays in the NBA playoffs.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests, as well as unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page. You can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Plus, check out the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now. It's only $9.99. VSiN.com/subscribe, where you gotta go. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line, and excited to get back to a little NBA talk as we welcome in friend of the show, Will Hill, VSiN contributor at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. You can find his picks on that VSiN.com/picks page. Will, a dominant 109-94 win for the Denver Nuggets, their first game on the road in Miami here in the NBA Finals. What were some of your big takeaways from the action?
Well, I got a couple of happy hosts here. Pritch's Nuggets doing good. You're up 2-0 in the finals.
Things
so this
are
is
happening.
A happy bunch here. Yeah.
Right.
Look, I took an oath betting against the Heat before game three. I just thought game two, it was crazy how they came back. I was like, you know what? This team has just burnt me so many times, but I think Denver won the series last night. I just don't think Miami's going to have to win 3 out of 4 here. Two of the four games are in Denver. So you're going to have to win 1 out of the 2 in Denver. You're going to have to win both in Miami. I mean, Denver, barring an injury, God forbid, Denver's not losing 3 out of 4 here. So that was an impressive response by Denver. I thought that was, you know, the word focus is thrown around a lot. I think it's sort of a cliche, but there was a focus from Denver in terms of there's a concerted effort to get the ball to Jokic or Murray every single possession. You know, the ball is going to go through one of those two guys. No Porter Jr., none of these other guys. Let's cut the fat. Let's either play through Jokic or play through Murray every time and make them respond. And it was a good recipe for Denver. And the scary thing for Miami, you look up and you lost by 15 at home. You're like, well, maybe we gave up a bunch of threes. You gave up 5 made threes. Yeah. Players other than Jokic and Murray went 1 from 10. So to me, Denver's been the better team. You know, you can make the case Denver's up 8 in the fourth quarter of game two and loses. We're, you know, a bad quarter away here from Denver where they just got sloppy away from a sweep. So Denver's bigger. They're better. There's no answer for Jokic. Denver's going to win the championship.
Will, what do you make of the number, though? I'm looking at Miami as a three-point dog here coming up on Friday. And it's like what you just mentioned. You know, the Nuggets are getting whatever they want. They bring their defense. Okay, that's difficult for Miami. I thought, like maybe a lot of people, or at least the word was early on, is that Tyler Hero was going to be back for Game 3. We kind of discussed that via text messages. But, you know, it's like I don't know if Miami had a letdown at all or did Denver just elevate that much. So what do you make of the number here, +3 here for Miami at home?
Yeah, I'm okay with laying it. The number hasn't seemed to matter really throughout the playoffs. We haven't seen a lot of situations where a team, and again, it's a small number, so yeah, chances are it's not going to come into a play, but we haven't seen a lot of situations where a team wins the game, but they don't cover. I could think of Boston-Miami Game 6 where Boston wins at the buzzer, but they don't cover the 3 more often than not. Mm-hmm. You know, the number is not really a factor, so I'd have no problem laying the 3. I did play -155 on the money line. I just think Denver's the better team. I think they kind of broke Miami here. And, you know, famous last words, Miami seems to have 9 lives. They're like Michael Myers in Halloween, and you just keep shooting them and stabbing them with axes, and they just walk it off, and they're chasing you down still. But I do think Denver's in good shape here. This is just a better, bigger team. Yeah. Unless Miami just gets a bunch of wide-open threes, and I think Denver did a good job of limiting those last night. To me, this is Denver's to win. Even if they were to drop Game 4, I mean, they still got 2 out of the 3 at home, but just felt like last night was the swing game here in the series.
Yeah, and when Jokic and Jamal Murray, to your point of everything going through them, when they're playing at that level, it's so hard to stop. 30-1, by the way, whoever had Jamal Murray to have a triple-double, props to y'all out there. Meanwhile, for Joker, he was back on the plus money side for a triple-double, +130 yesterday. Going into Friday, back to -105. I imagine that's going to be a minus number for the rest of the series here. He's averaging 33-14-9 in the playoffs, an NBA best ever in the postseason, 10 triple-doubles. His point prop going into Friday's game is set now at 30.5. But, I mean, if we keep anticipating things are going to go through him, it doesn't seem like it's something where you can bet his unders at this point.
Yeah, I bet the over last night. It's such a fun bet to root for. It sounds so square and so simple to just bet Jokic over points, but it's just so fun. He's so good. There's no answer for him. And like I mentioned, I just think there is a concerted effort to get the ball either to Jokic or to Murray, play the two-man game, and just sort of eliminate everyone else. So I do like Jokic over the 30.5 points. It's getting expensive, but I do like the over there. And I think he even took the foot off the gas a little bit at the end because he had, I think, 29 early in the fourth quarter. And, you know, he didn't get fouled a lot at the end. He didn't really have to score a lot the last few minutes. So he could have sort of named his score last night. So I do think the over is a good bet. And I mentioned the other day, I'm not sure, I think it was with Gil, and it might have been on this show, but you can bet who's going to lead the series in assists as well. Murray was 8-1 before yesterday. He had a 2-assist lead. He had 10 assists. Jokic had 10 assists. So Murray still has a 2-assist lead. Nobody else is really close. You can still get Murray +275 to lead this series in assists. I think that's a pretty good bet. There might only be 2 games left. All you have to do is tie. And if Murray has 1 game where he has a couple more than Jokic, it's pretty much over. So I do like Murray +275 to lead the series in assists.
That was another thing that cashed last night for him, 5-1 to have 10 or more assists. Mm-hmm. He's had 10 plus in all 3 games so far, Pritch.
Yeah, you know what? On that note, too, Will, I mean, from a betting standpoint, I mean, maybe people or the tendency would be to kind of look for role players to kind of step up and say, okay, maybe I can find some value there. But the theme of these playoffs, all NBA playoff season, has been the superstars really elevating, right? And I mean, it's probably the easy work is to look at the superstars and look for the prop situations that way.
Yeah, for sure. And I do like the under tomorrow as well. And, you know, the series you mentioned is stormy. It's been played at a very slow pace. I think it's 210.5. It might be getting a little too low, but I'm still going to play the under. I probably wouldn't go much further than that. But it's interesting. Denver has really emphasize defense. Porter Jr.'s had his minutes cut. They're going with their best defensive lineups. They are not prioritizing shooting. So I wonder if there's an adjustment here for Miami where it says, you know what, you're going to play Jokic and Murray and not a lot of shooters. We're just going to clog the paint, clog the floor, and make some of those role players try to beat us. Double Jokic, double Murray, double whoever. We're going to make Bruce Brown and Caldwell Pope, these guys shoot the ball. So I do wonder if there's another adjustment for Miami because Denver's really prioritizing the defense and saying, you know what, we're not going to worry about having as much shooting as possible on the court because we're just going with Jokic and Murray, playing through those guys, and just really emphasizing the defensive lineups. I wonder if Miami can make them pay for it in terms of just clogging the floor.
Well, suppose a good coach, and you said it earlier, you know, this is a team that I said it yesterday. They're like cockroaches. It's like they're not going to die for whatever reason. So it's hard to count them out in any of these situations moving forward. Will Hill joining the Lombardi line here at Not The Will Hill on Twitter, VSiN contributor. The news of the day in the NFL, certainly Dalvin Cook getting released from the Minnesota Vikings, it appears here. Meanwhile, you are betting in on their win total this season, over 8.5. What do you like about it?
Yeah, I like the over 8.5, and I think you can get them a 3-1, a little north of that, to win the division. To me, it comes down to them or Detroit. I don't really think Green Bay with a new quarterback and, you know, Chicago with Fields, for them to get to 9 or 10 wins, I think is asking a lot. I just think you can be so overrated that you become underrated and vice versa. And everyone, the narrative around the Vikings, they're overrated. They didn't deserve to win 13 games. I agree. They weren't a 13-win team. But they're also not an 8-win team either. And I just think this number is getting depressed to the point where I think the over is a good bet. That's not a great division. You know, that those are not great teams, you know, in that division. And that's still a really good offense with Jefferson and Osborne, Hawkinson, the weapons they have, a better offensive line than they had. And they're going to be better on defense because they cannot possibly be worse. I could coach the defense and they'd be better than they were last year. And Flores, look, they were so vanilla. They were so boring, predictable with the cover two. You're going to bring Flores now, who's probably should be a head coach. He's a fiery guy. He's going to mix things up. As long as you could be like the 18th best defense, you're going to see a big improvement. So to me, getting to 9 or 10 wins is not asking a lot here. I know they're, you know, people are going to say, oh, they're never going to repeat the 13 wins. They don't have to for you to cash this ticket. So I think over 8.5 here is a good bet.
Yeah, a lot of volatility in that division, though. Kind of like NFC South, right? I mean, you look at the NFC North, like you mentioned. Is that the opportunity that you're looking for or anticipating, obviously?
I think the whole NFC outside of Philly, and you got to put San Fran on that level. As long as Purdy can be what he was last year, it seems like the quarterback's almost interchangeable with San Francisco. Outside of that, there's not a lot of good teams. There's a lot of question marks. And just a reminder, I mean, I've been betting mostly NFC unders because they do have the 9th road game. It's an unbalanced schedule, eight home games for the NFC, 9 road games. So keep that in mind. But it's a wide open NFC outside of Philly, outside of San Fran. There's just not a lot of good teams.
Last minute here, Will, you got some day baseball. Any plays for us in MLB?
I'll go under 4.5. It's not a day game, but I'll go under 4.5 in the first 5. Mets, Braves. Mets are in a lot of trouble. Their offense has been terrible, but it's Strider against Verlander. Verlander obviously won the Cy Young last year. Strider's the favorite to do it this year. I look for like a 2-1 game after 5 innings to me. 4.5 is a little inflated, so I'll go under 4.5 here.
You're the man. Thank you, Will. Appreciate your time.
All right. See you. Appreciate it. Good luck tonight, Stormy.
Oh, I'm going to need it. I'm so emotional. If the Florida Panthers are going to win a game, it's probably going to be tonight, I feel like, in my head. But I'm not betting it that way. Okay. And I think that, that's why I'm just staying away from it. I've got some props, though, maybe, that we'll revisit a little bit.
It's not a series until the
later
team loses at home, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The Knights just have so much anxiety.
Yeah, but they look so good on ice, though.
You need to help me decide what I'm going to do tonight because I've got some options and I'm not sure if I should mess with what I've been doing. We got to take a quick break. More Lombardi Line when we return back to the NFL.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, laces up with a playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a same game parlay of 4 legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25, even if you miss one leg. Enjoy the Stanley Cup Final like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the playoffs. Log on now or sign up and opt in to get back up to $25 in bonus bets if one leg of your same game parlay falls short. BetMGM and Same Game Sense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and up only, new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Speaking of the NHL, of course, the Stanley Cup Final rolls on tonight with Game 3 out there in Sunrise, Florida. We'll give a full preview of that game a little bit later on in Hour 2, as well as discuss some of that with Mike Somich. Somich, also our horse racing expert extraordinaire, give us the lowdown on the Belmont Stakes coming up this Saturday. But for now, we'll stick with the NFL, Pritch. Okay. A few days ago, we learned there was another issue with sports betting and NFL players. Cornerback Isaiah Rodgers of the Indianapolis Colts reportedly made around 100 bets during an undisclosed amount of time, including on Colts games. Most bets were in the $25 to $50 range, although there was at least one low four-figure bet. And an unfortunate situation for a guy who is probably up and coming in the league, had an opportunity at the position with Stephon Gilmore being traded over to Dallas, that he was kind of the presumed likely starter to move up in that role, had a big opportunity in training camp. Now TBD is being held out of all of their practices right now, and head coach Shane Steichen spoke to media on the issue for the first time yesterday.
It's an ongoing investigation with the NFL right now. And we are constantly, it's an ongoing process, educating our players, educating our coaches on the situation. And beyond that, I will have probably no further comment going forward.
And a teammate of Rodgers as well, EJ Speed, basically said in his presser, just don't gamble. It's not worth it.
No. I mean, Rodgers is scheduled to make $2.7 million this year. And, you know, betting $50, betting $25 as opposed to making $2.7 million for playing the game that you love. I mean, what are you doing?
Seriously. Final year of your contract?
Yeah.
All these things?
What are you doing? And the troubling part about this, not the fact that obviously gambling and on your own sport, but he went through an associate. So it's like he knew better. He knew not to do it, but yet he still did it. I think the hammer is coming down. I know there's rumors. Yahoo Sports is all over this in terms of a lifetime ban. And this is what the league will do. Like, if their message isn't getting across to the players about the shield, the integrity of the game, they will make an example out of somebody. Mm-hmm. And if it's a lifetime ban, then Rodgers, $25, $50, was it really worth it? Right. Yeah. I mean, come on. And, the end game of that is no. I mean, bet all you want when you retire, like I am. Like a lot of other people are, but not when you're playing. Don't even mess around with that. Certainly don't go through an associate as well.
And what I think is crazy about this is that, while yes, it does say an undisclosed amount of time, the belief is that it was last season that mm-hmm. these bets transpired. And you already had Calvin Ridley as the example being set to where he missed an entire year, had to go through the process to be reinstated in the league. Mm-hmm. And a big sticking point in his gambling to begin with was that Falcons games were involved in some of those parlays that he made. So having Colts games as a part of the betting, you know, just makes this that much more serious, even if it is $25, $50 bets. Huh. Like, you can't be doing something like this, especially not as it pertains to your team. And now, you know, over the last few weeks, and apparently getting more serious now, Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer is reporting that, you know, maybe this is just the tip of the iceberg, and the right. NFL has a full investigation and a probe into how many guys this really could be dating back through last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, how many associates are out there, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that gets kind of scary for the National Football League when you think about it, because guys are trying to get away with things that they know they shouldn't be trying to get away with. And gambling is interesting because, you know, when you're playing this sport, on every single play, your career could be over. In a sense, you're gambling. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the feeling would be. And I'm from Vegas, Stormy. And I never had an inkling to gamble, ever, on a game until I knew it was okay. But I'm gambling playing a game, you know, for 10 years or whatever. I'm gambling. So I don't know what the feeling is. I don't know why these guys are ignoring the rules and ignoring specific information from the league not to do this. And I said it was an awareness thing, but it's not an awareness thing when you're trying to get away with it.
Yeah. And I read this article because The Athletic did kind of a full breakdown interviewing different players anonymously at different levels in their career and their thoughts on the gambling policy, how they felt about it in general, but also their knowledge of it and how much time is paid attention to it. And one of the players even said he felt like a lot of this just comes down to don't be stupid.
Right.
Like, everybody and their mother knows don't gamble on the NFL. Even if you don't know the gambling, he said, like, you know, you can give some leeway to the betting on college football ball or golf or whatever in the facility if you didn't know that portion of it, which is, of course, what happened to the Lions players earlier this offseason that became unveiled. But with the NFL specifically, everyone knows don't do that.
I know, especially when it comes to sports. And you know, I'll turn back the clock, and certainly, you know, athletes get flown into Vegas, right? Players, and this is before gambling and the partnerships with the National Football League, markers all over the place for NFL players, right? And I entertain a ton of players that came to Vegas to hang out, and we rolled the dice. We played cards. We did all that stuff that you could do, and you could gamble. I mean, there's casinos all across this country. And there's really no excuse to bet sports when you can go right to a local casino and roll some dice or play some cards or whatever if you want to get your gambling on. I remember being up in Seattle. They had the pool tabs and all that stuff, right? You remember those things? And, you know, now you got slot machines everywhere. And even in Colorado when Blackhawk came online.
Yeah, I've been to Blackhawk.
They had casinos in houses before they built the casinos. That you actually walked into somebody's house to play blackjack. That's what when gambling came online. And so I had to check that out, being from Vegas. But no, there's other ways. If you want to have that entertainment, just don't bet on sports. You want $25, $50 entertainment, go bet on some dice or some cars or something.
I agree with that. And Pritch, though, even if you want to bet on sports, I think it's very simple. Don't bet on your own league and do it on your own time.
Right.
Outside of work, because when you're at the facility, you're at work.
Right.
Like it doesn't seem that hard. And if you actually look at the CBA, it's written out very clearly. I know that in the past they hadn't had to spend a ton of time on it because it was so just understood.
Yeah.
But now with legalization coming to more and more states every single year, the lines are getting blurred a little bit. So there needs to be a bigger emphasis on it. And the league is making examples of players because it has relationships with sports books and the integrity of the game cannot be in question. And that's what it continues to come down to.
Absolutely. So. And when you're trying to get away with it with an associate,
that's on you. That's on you.
That's a lifetime ban right there, right? So I don't know what it's going to do with the Colts. I don't know what the fallout's going to be if there's a significant number. I was on Gil Alexander's show, and you know, if it's a high profile player, would the league actually come down on that high profile player? Yes, yes, they will. I mean, this is a $1 billion industry. This is approaching $25 billion annually, and these owners are not going to mess with that.
How worrisome is it what Albert Breer has reported, though, that there could be a healthy dose of players that are implicated in this new probe?
It depends on how deep it goes. It really does. It's the whole thing about the CBA, for instance, you know, whether things are relaxed or not. You know, players got around rules all the time. Whether it was PEDs, performance enhancing, or substance abuse, right? Players found a way to get around rules. But with this, you can't get around this. This is about the shield. And so, you know, and players were made example of, like, if you got caught, you know, smoking weed or whatever before the new CBA, then you were suspended, period. So I think that's going to happen here, too. If there's a number of players, a significant number of players, they're going to look at the consequences, though.
Just know the rules. And as your NFL brethren said in the Athletic article, just don't be stupid. It's not that hard. I mean, because we all want to continue to enjoy the sport.
Oh, yeah.
It's more fun when guys are out there fighting for spots and when the stars are stars. So don't even bother implicating yourself and risking things that impact your career in this way. And I mean, you already said playing in the league in general is already a gamble, and you're so fortunate to have that opportunity. Why let something like this affect it? Seems silly. Again, this is We're a Gambling Network. I think that these are important topics for us to cover. We're going to take a quick break here. When we return, a Mike Pritchard edition of No Way or No Doubt.